I just want to give a bit of context for the discussion today, which is technically around the half-year update, the BPS and the investment statement. And as we're considering where the economy is going, it's quite important for us to get a sense of the scale of adjustment that is going on and needs to go on in New Zealand, and it reflects the same kind of adjustments that are going on in most of the developed economies, although not all of them. And just to give you a rough idea of what that scale of adjustment is, in the 5 years to March 2008, household sector credit rose by 93%. Now that sounds like a reasonably abstract number, but what it means is that for an average across all households, in 2003 they had roughly $61,000 of debt. By 2008 it was $107,000. And the same scale of change occurred actually in the rural sector as well, where credit grew by 103%. So it was even more. So the amount of debt per farm doubled in that time. So when we talk about deleveraging, when the economists talk about it, or getting on top of our debt, this is a process which, where there was a big increase in those debt levels, even with households being careful about their spending and focusing on reducing their debt and increasing their savings, they've just flattened that out. So if you think that the right level of household debt is almost twice as much as it was in 2003, then even to hold that level of debt, households we've got pretty subdued spending, subdued housing market. If you thought that households needed to actually reduce that level of debt, then there would still be some considerable adjustment for the economy to go through. So when we're talking about economic growth, then that build-up of debt has been very substantial, and even holding it flat means that in the short term we wouldn't be expecting consumer spending or the housing market to pick up in a big hurry, and those are generally the drivers of growth out of a recession, and are to a large extent absent this time. I think the same kind of issue is relevant when it comes to employment, and here it's quite important to get a sense of the size of the employment base that we're working with. So when we had this increase in consumption and debt and a fast increasing housing market, you had, I'll just check the numbers here, the employment in the tradable sector from 2003 to 2009 actually fell by 12%. Now that represented a loss of 55,000 jobs in the tradable sector. But the tradable sector is a relatively smaller part of the employment base. The non-tradable sector in that period grew by 18%, which represented 267,000 jobs. So the non-tradable sector is just much bigger. And so when it stops, if it's not growing jobs, then that has quite a big impact on total employment growth. And so what's happening at the moment is, in the export sector, job growth has come back. So since 2019, jobs there actually grew by 6%, which was 25,000 jobs. In the non-tradable sector, there's actually more new jobs, 35,000 new jobs, which is 2% growth. So looking ahead over the next few years, because our non-tradable sector has had a lot of debt, it's got to clear out that debt, it's got households being careful, you're going to have relatively low job growth in that area, which is actually about four times the size in job terms as the tradable sector. So we are going to need to see, off the back of these high commodity prices, fast job growth in the tradable sector to see unemployment sustainably drop. You will get growth in the non-tradable sector, but nothing like as fast as it was in the last decade. So we've just got to keep those perspectives where the tradable sector job base is just so much smaller. It's been shrinking. It is turning around. That's good news. But it's going to have to turn around pretty vigorously off the back of good profits and strong investment if we're going to get a much faster drop in unemployment. So in those processes of adjustment, which is getting debt back, debt coming under control, and getting resources into the tradable sector, the good news is that the commodity prices are as high as they've ever been. In fact, they are the highest they've ever been. So the half-year update reflects, I think, the patchiness of that adjustment process. I think governments around the world, including here, are getting a better understanding of the dynamics of this kind of adjustment, because it's not the usual one. We're recovering from a pretty severe financially driven recession rather than just your sort of vanilla recession where unemployment goes up a bit and consumption drops off a bit, and then they just turn around and things come right. A feature of the half-year update was the additional document of the investment statement. We want to move to regular reporting of the Crown's capital situation. In our current budgetary process, capital is almost treated as an afterthought and an bit of an easy option, and doesn't do justice to the scope of Crown ownership of assets, full accountability for those assets, and a full understanding of what's happening with capital. One thing that was missing from the investment statement, which I hope we'll be able to bring into the process, perhaps in the budget, or hopefully in the budget, is a much clearer picture of where the money comes from for government's capital investment and how it's applied. Because different investments are treated differently. So, for instance, most of the roading investment is actually financed by user charges, both capital and operating. Whereas most of the investment in schools is financed by the taxpayer. There's other investments that are financed partly by levies and partly by taxes. And we want to be able to paint that picture much more transparently than it's been painted. Our expectations about this next year are, you know, that the recovery is going to continue to have some challenges. Government is doing a bit of work on testing the connection between different rates of growth, different scenarios, and what impact that has on the fiscal situation. But the government's fiscal outlook there's been some adjustments at the margin, the basic thrust of it's pretty straightforward, and that is to get to surplus as soon as is reasonable. This year, current financial year we're in, the half year update shows that we are borrowing more this year than we had expected at the budget, due to lower tax revenue and some one-offs like the earthquake, or we hope one-offs. But from here, we're looking at a material surplus in 2015-16. And by material, I mean something significantly greater than zero. I think the year before, it gets to about balance. But proper surplus in 2015-16. And, of course, as the Prime Minister has signalled, both in an earlier speech, we'll be looking to try and get there, close that gap a year earlier. If you look internationally at the size of fiscal adjustment we are proposing, we're at the moderate end of the scale in the time we're taking to get to surplus. Any number of other countries have proposed much more rigorous fiscal tightening, the UK being an obvious one. Others, such as the US, haven't aimed for any at all. We think we struck about the right balance between supporting what has been a patchy recovery, but the government pulling its weight and ensuring that our overseas net foreign liabilities don't take us into a problem zone. Mr. Chairman, the committee may be interested in the date of the budget. As the Prime Minister has outlined, have a focus on savings and investment, and it will be delivered on Thursday the 19th of May.